Spot Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlich.
I'm Judy Redlich. Today on Encounter, you'll learn about Our Lady's Inn and also meet the author who wrote the book, Holding On Loosely. It might help you get rid of some of your junk in your house. So please stay tuned. Our Lady's Inn. Have you maybe driven by it or heard of it, but don't know what they do? Well, today you're going to meet Peggy Forrester, and she is the executive director of Our Lady's Inn, has been there for a while, and has some great stories of how God has been using Our Lady's Inn. So let's welcome her to Encounter. I'm Judy Redlich, and thank you all for tuning in today. Peggy, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Peggy, what is Our Lady's Inn all about?
Officially, Our Lady's Inn is a maternity home, and but what we do is a little bit beyond just providing housing for pregnant women in crisis. We provide what we like to call wraparound support services, supporting these women in their choice for life, for their unborn babies. We provide nursing support, material needs, educational guidance. We provide counseling, mental health counseling, substance abuse counseling, as that's become a very prevalent need among pregnant women who are homeless. We have specialty services for the children that the mothers may bring with them when they come to us. We provide services to help them find more permanent housing when they're ready to move from the home with us. And we connect them with any kind of community resource that they might need to help them tackle the barriers that they face or the challenges that they will face as single mothers.
What population do you mainly serve?
We serve pregnant women 18 and over. Those are really the only two prerequisites. They can bring other children with them if they have other children. We want to do everything we can to keep families together. Oftentimes, a mother will come to us and she'll have children, but they won't be with her. Because she's homeless, they may have been taken into care. But once they're with us, we work with her to reunite that family. So
that's wonderful.
We're all about families and keeping families together and helping moms become the best parents that they can be.
Peggy, what percentage of the moms that come to you would you say are homeless?
They're all homeless, 100%.
Wow.
They're either homeless due to the pregnancy itself. They've been kicked out of their homes by parents or friends or the father of their baby, sometimes even husbands, because sometimes we have married women. Some of them are homeless, were homeless prior to the pregnancy, and that just complicates the situation of the pregnancy, but they are all homeless.
How many people do you serve at a time?
We can accommodate 30 families at a time, so that's 30 pregnant women with however many children they have together. Oftentimes we have more children in our homes than we do mothers.
Mothers, yeah. Mm-hmm. So where are your homes located? Is that kind of a secret?
Nope, it's not a secret. We're not like a domestic violence shelter where people can't find us. We have our largest home is in St. Louis City at Compton and Merrimack, and we've been there since 1998. We opened a second home about 14 years ago in St. Charles County in Defiance, and we can house 12 families there.
Give us a scenario of somebody who might call you, or how do they find out about you in the first place?
Many come from referrals from doctors, pastors, friends, other homeless service providers, social workers. And then a lot of them find us online. They just Google. They Google pregnancy services, and our name comes up.
Our Lady's Inn. Well, it sounds like such a fun place to live, Our Lady's Inn. It's just a neat name. I've always loved that name. Mm-hmm. when Gloria was director, and I first heard about it.
And Gloria's still with us. she has been with us since day one, and she's still working hard.
That's great. And you guys are going to be honoring her at your upcoming gala.
That is correct. So we opened our doors January 22nd, 1982. So 40 years ago, we opened our doors.
40 years ago.
And Gloria was the first house parent, and she opened the door to the first women that we took in. And she is still with us. Her husband, Sam, who she actually met at Our Ladies Inn, they didn't know each other before
was
one of the founders of Our Ladies Inn. So a couple of years after they connected at Our Ladies Inn, they got married. So we're honoring both of them, Gloria for her 40 years of dedication to the women at Our Ladies Inn, and Sam for his 40 years of dedication to the pro-life work in Jeff City on the legislative side.
How can people find out more about the gala?
They can go to our website, www.ourladysinn.org, ourladysinn.org.
Ourladysinn.org. And spell that again.
ourladysinn.org.
Ourladysinn.org. Okay, tell me a couple of success stories, Peggy.
The most recent one we have, we just found this out last week. We had a young woman who came to us 2 years ago with two children. Actually, she came as a widow. Her husband had recently passed away.
And she was
unable to continue, you know, paying the rent in their home. So she was almost through with her college education. While she was with us, she completed her college education. She worked part-time and saved all of the money that she earned while she was with us. She moved she was with us just a little bit over a year. She moved into an apartment, got a full-time job because she had then since graduated with a degree in accounting over the last year. She got a master's degree in accounting.
Wow.
And just last week, bought her first home.
Oh, how cool is that?
So,
and how long did you know her, all in all?
Well, we've known her for 3 years. So she was with us for a year. And we have a two-year aftercare program. So once moms move from our residential program, we support them with case management and material supports. And she stayed connected to us throughout that time period. And just a very driven, you know, to support her family and do well. But she was a real success story.
That's exciting.
We gave her a helping hand when she needed it, you know.
And wonderful.
And she didn't feel so alone in her, you know, in her efforts too.
And her kids felt secure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
So that's one. Another one, we have a young woman right now with us. She hasn't been with us very long, but she escaped from Iraq and made her way here through several countries. And she has one little boy with her, and she is pregnant, and she was considering abortion because she didn't really feel like she had any opportunities to provide for her children, but someone recommended that she reach out to us. She was on the other side of the country, on the East Coast. She found us, and she's been with us now about a month or two, and we're working with her to, learn the language, and she's very, very educated. So trying to transition those skills into, you know, something that she can use to support herself and her children. And she's so thrilled to be able to look forward to the birth of her child.
How God moved and provided for that woman coming all the way from another country.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus sure is using Our Ladies Inn. Peggy Forrester is my guest. They have an upcoming gala, and they have a lot of things that you can do. What are some things that people could volunteer to do for you?
Oh, we have all kinds of volunteer opportunities, which we've now opened back up since COVID. We weren't allowing too many volunteers in. Oftentimes we need people to help watch the kiddos while moms are in class. We have a lot of in-house classes that we provide.
Oh, like what?
Parenting. nutrition, well baby care, those types of classes. We do some 12-step programs in-house for those moms who need support in living a sober lifestyle. So a lot of times, if they've got kids with them, they need someone to, you know, kind of watch. And what we do is we plan age-appropriate activities
for
the kiddos at that time.
So
that's
important.
That's helpful. You know, kitchen, working in the kitchen, preparing meals, serving meals. Decorating rooms, painting rooms, working in the gardens, sorting donations. What we typically do is if someone's interested in volunteering, if they're not quite sure what they're interested in, we take them on a tour and we more fully explain what it is that we do. And more often than not, an idea pops into their head about how they can maybe support us.
Great. Peggy Forrester is my guest. She's the executive director of Our Ladies Inn. Peggy, that website again?
www.ourladiesinn.org.
And when is your gala?
It's April 24th, Sunday night, and we have a special guest speaker, Dr. Ben Carson, is coming.
Oh, Ben Carson is coming.
Yes. Ah. So we're very honored to have him.
And you're also honoring the founders, Gloria
yes.
Lee and her husband, and they both met at Our Ladies Inn. So I know they're going to have a real sweet story to share.
Yes, yes.
Is there anything, Peggy, we have about 30 seconds left that you would like to share that we haven't talked about?
You know, people often ask me, if, in a nutshell, why we do what we do. And, you know, we, of course, do it because we feel like we're called to honor every life that God creates. But we see ourselves standing in that space between violence and the vulnerable, the violence of abortion and the vulnerability of the unborn and the women who are in a crisis pregnancy.
So important. And if you're there and you'd like to get a hold of Our Ladies Inn, they also have a phone number, Peggy.
You can call us at 314-736-1544.
314-736-1544. If you are a mom, you don't have a place to go, you're pregnant, and you need some support, Our Ladies Inn might be the place for you, a loving place where you can get that support that you've been so longing for. So many people get pregnant because they see pseudo-love in the other person that they're with, and it always doesn't work, doesn't it, Peggy?
That's correct. That's correct.
So Our Ladies Inn can offer you that love and support that you need to get through the challenges that you face. I'm Judy Redlich. Peggy, thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you all for listening.
Hearing from listeners like you makes our day here at Bot Radio Network.
So grateful for Bot Radio Network. The preachers that are on there each morning, I listen from about 5:30 in the morning to maybe 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Very much enriched by that teaching on a daily basis.
Oh, I love Bot Radio. When I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I turn Bot Radio on and I hear the Word of God. Thank you so very much.
I want to thank Bot Radio for their wonderful programs, the Father and Son Sharing. It's all been a great ministry, and it touches my heart and meets my spiritual needs in listening to all of these different pastors. Thank you very much. God bless.
We'd love to hear your story. Call our listener comment line at 1-800-345-2621. That's 1-800-345-2621. Thank you for listening. We look forward to hearing from you.
Many of you have things in your basement that you haven't used for 5 to 10 years, and you go, I gotta keep that. You know, that's an old keepsake. How many of you hold tightly on to your children, or did hold tightly on to your children when they went to college? And you shed a whole bunch of tears because you just had a hard time letting them go. Well, today we're going to talk with an author, Dana Knox, who wrote the book Holding On Loosely. Hear the experiences she had, why she was forced to start thinking about this theme, and how it could really revolutionize our lives if we take some of the tips that Dana shows us in her book, and we're going to talk about today, to think about the things that we hold on to so tightly in our lives. So, Dana, welcome to Encounter. Oh, and I'm Judy Redlich. Thanks for tuning in.
Judy. Yeah, glad to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here today. And tell us, why did you write your book? And how did you get started in thinking about writing your book?
Well, in 2008, my family went through a very difficult time and a hard thing, which is the place where most books are born, I think, out of something that is particularly wonderful or hard. And this was a hard thing. And I did not go through it gracefully. Let me just say that. My relationship with God, I believed, but my faith sort of grew dormant during that time. It's like all of my energy was just channeled into survival mode every single day. And there was a point in the midst of that where I don't even know that I was really crying out for God and asking Him for mercy, but I just couldn't do it anymore. And I said, I'm done. The situation is going to play out the way that it's going to play out. And that's it. And I think God heard that cry and knew even really before I did that I was crying out to Him. And that is when something changed. In that moment, I felt a little bit of a weight begin to lift. And it's important for me to say this, that it would be 2 years before we were really free of this situation that was really, really hard for us.
So, Dana, that situation was when the stock market crash. I remember where I was the exact day that that started to happen. Mm-hmm. But you and your husband, your lives kind of fell apart as a result of that, didn't it?
Yes. Work went away. Work went away. And God really and truly allowed us to become poor in that season. Our home was constantly under threat of foreclosure. And we really understood what it was like to figure out how to get money to put gas in our car. I mean, it was a dire situation. And we went through savings, and it was just hard. We had a college student that was studying abroad in Germany. We couldn't pay tuition nor afford to bring him home. And he grew during that period, and it was a trying period. And we all have those. You know, it may not be that thing, but we all have that thing.
So for 2 years, you grappled with that issue, going through it. And how did you feel?
Even longer. But what I want to say is that the thing that changed in me when I opened my hand and turned loose of the control and everything I was trying to steer, what happened, the only thing that changed, my circumstance didn't. And at that point, it wouldn't for a few more years. But something changed. And the only thing that was me opening my hand and letting it go.
Opening your hand. Share with people not only your book title, but the subtitles that go with it. I love those subtitles.
Yeah, the subtitle is Opening My Hands, Lightening My Load, and Seeing Something Else.
Opening my hand, lightening my load, and seeing something else. And of course, the book title is called Holding On Loosely. Holding On Loosely by Dana Knox. And she's my guest here, right here on Encounter. All right, so where did you go from the disaster to coming back?
Yeah, well, you know, I say hard became challenging. Challenging became doable, and one day doable became done. But it was a long, hard season. And when I sort of, during that time, a lot of things went away from me, tangible things, but also things, creativity, hope, a lot of things that were just uncharacteristic for me as a person went away from me. But when those things started coming back to me, I wondered, you know, if I could walk through those seasons in my life, does it really matter how I walk through those? Can it make a difference in my life? Can it, how I walk through them? And so I asked myself if I can walk through these things by holding on, ready to turn loose at a moment's notice. You know, when I have to walk through a hard thing, when God says it's time to let go of this, it's time to turn loose of this. wouldn't matter if I was already just holding it loosely.
So, Dana, give us an example of how you were finally able to hold on loosely. So, if some of us are thinking about, well, I probably need to do what she did, but I don't want to go to a through a disaster to get there.
No. Yeah.
Give us an example of how your life changed that can help our listeners.
Yeah. What I started looking for was to see something. Mary Oliver is an American poet, and she has three little instructions for life that she writes about. One is to pay attention. The second is to be astonished. And the third is to tell about it. And paying attention, when I ask God, show me if I can walk differently, you know, through this life. And so I started looking, and that's when I began writing my stories down. I wasn't sure. I didn't really see the connectivity in all of it, and I wasn't sure it would become a book at that point. But I started looking for stories of how people were holding things loosely, and God did not disappoint. He taught me. You know, I consider these stories parables for me because the Holy Spirit spoke to me through these stories that God opened my eyes to. And most of the people that crossed my path were people who didn't even know that they touched me in that way. Mm. You know, I may have had a 30-minute encounter with them, and God really taught me something through those situations. When I turn loose of something that sort of has haunted me from the past and I embrace this new version of me, when I turn loose of a life of pleasing, then I see me free to be as quirky and different and embrace who God created me to be.
33 parables, you say, are in your book.
Yeah.
Share one of them with us.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorites is an old woman that I locked eyes with at a pizza joint in New York City. Brief trip for my husband and me. And last night there, an older woman caught my eye and she stared at me, which, you know, that can be a bit uncomfortable, you know, a little bit uncomfortable. I would look away, smile at her, look away, and I could still feel her looking at me. And what transpired over the next 30 or 40 minutes in this pizza restaurant, she came over to me, and I could tell she was with a caregiver, and I could tell that her memory was giving her some problems. But without going into a huge, long story about it, the name of the chapter in the book is Rena, and that was her name, Rena Schwimmer. And she was from Jerusalem and lived in New York City also. And her story of something that she and her husband were involved in sort of helping create the Israeli Air Force after World War II, when her husband thought if he didn't intervene that there would be a second Holocaust. And so he did something that was not legal in our country, but he did it because he felt morally obligated to the nation of Israel. And there's more to the story, but in the time that I gave her, what I did was turn loose of my time. I always feel this need that I'm busy, and I sort of hoard my time. And without realizing it in my life, I think I have deemed certain situations and people not worthy of my time, because I kept it like I was too busy. And what I learned from my encounter with Rena was that my time is going to leave me anyway. And what do I have to show for it? You know, what do I have to show for the minutes in my day? But what if I went into a place, lay them on the table to see who would come and pick up that time?
Wow.
And so I have learned to be more open and more giving with my time and care more about the relationships and the people that I can sit down and have a conversation with. Because what I gained from that was there was a woman who, for some reason, I think it must have been I reminded her of somebody, but some memories got rattled around in her head and she told me some things. And then for me, this wonderful story came to me because of that laying time on the table. So that's
because you laid your time out and you didn't let anyone inhibit you holding on to your time loosely.
God just took it. And when I say here it is, I'm going to turn it loose and it's going to be what it'll be. And it was. And I found since then in situations in my own little town when people need my time, it's reminded me to give my time.
Dana Knox is my guest. She wrote the book Holding On Loosely. And the subtitles, Dana?
Opening My Hands, Lightening My Load, and Seeing Something Else.
All right. We have about a minute and a half left. What would you like readers to do to get your book?
Yeah, so the book is available anywhere you buy books online. There's an audio book available anywhere where you might purchase audio books. It's hard copy now, but this summer the paperback will be also coming out. And it's my honor to just share this concept with people. It makes a difference. Holding on loosely, that there is a time for everything. There is a time to hold and a time to turn loose of just about everything. That's been my lesson with this book.
Dana Knox has been my guest, and she is the author of a book called Holding On Loosely. You might want to get that book. It pertains to junk, too. Don't worry. She's got stories about that, too. Pertains to kids. Pick it up at any bookstore. Or you can go to her website. She'll even autograph a copy if you buy it from her website. And your website, Dana?
DanaKnoxWright.com.
DanaKnoxWright.com. Thanks, Dana, for being my guest. And you all for tuning in to Encounter today. I'm Judy Redlich.
This has been Encounter with Judy Redlich, informing listeners on local Christian events and matters that affect your lives. Spread the word and invite people to listen to Encounter on KSIV or online at BotRadioNetwork.com.